This is a replay of the Tuesday night, June 23rd WGN show we started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine. And warning, warning, yeah, this next story is, this first story actually tonight, is absolutely sickening. Now, maybe if you want to lose weight, go on a diet and never eat again, you'll want to hear this. But otherwise, well, I'm just conveying it because it's one of those, this can't be right. Well, turns out, yeah, the tape proves it is. An Arby's worker in Broken Bow, Oklahoma, has been charged with spitting in the food of a customer. All right. The contamination led the customer to contract oral herpes. So this has late March, where a woman, Jenica, 38 years old, left work. She's a bartender. She'd just gotten on off work on a Saturday night, and she went to the Arby's, wanted the four for $10 sandwich meal, was looking forward to that. All right, so now the fact that she says, well, I've heard this woman's been bragging that she spits in the food, that's not enough, obviously. Those are, you know, those are your basic social rumors that you see online and all that. So they sent an officer down to the Arby's to look at the surveillance video. And yes, thank God they did have cameras on the workers. And yes, the tape was there. The recording was absolutely there. And yes, the officer watches the woman remove meat from the slicer, lifts to neck level, leans her head down, and you can quote-unquote see the saliva leave her mouth and go into the sandwich. She then continues to make the other three sandwiches and sends out the order. You know, when you read this thing online, you say to yourself, well, that can't be true. Those are just the... Well, apparently, yeah, the recording capture says, oh, it was true, all right. And now, the problem is that the worker had an active herpes infection. And this is oral herpes. You know, herpes is one of those things that, yes, you always hear about it as an STD, and it can be. It absolutely can be. But it can also be oral, and it can be, it's a virus. It can be the result of a number of things. It doesn't have to be, you know, sexually transmitted by any means. But in this case, the woman had an oral, a raging oral infection of this when she spits in the food. So she can't claim that it was an accident. Let's face it, this was clearly with intent. So meanwhile, the bartender winds up and has a civil lawsuit going, obviously, with an oral herpes infection, including painful lesions, cold sores, and went to the doctor and all that, and tests positive for herpes simplex virus 1, which, frankly, many of us carry that for years. It can be, you know, the chicken pox or something. It can be a number of things you carry it. But nonetheless, this is pretty open and shut that this is a problem. So she contacted the officers, and again, she tells them, well, I've heard rumors that she spits in the food. And again, you know, those are just rumors. Who believes that? And so they get a warrant at the Arby's for the surveillance tapes, and sure enough, there it is. So they think, we got to question the worker. Well, the worker doesn't show up for work. All right, so they go to her house, and they find out, she says, well, I didn't go to work because I didn't have transportation. And so they sit down, and they said, we've got footage. And she basically says, I'm not going to waste your time. Yes, I did it. And she was charged with poisoning food and medicine with intent to injure, which is a felony. Now, of course, she's a repeat offender, not necessarily for that, but her rap sheet includes convictions for narcotics possession, credit card fraud, receiving stolen property, and driving under the influence. Yeah, I don't know how Arby's vets their employees, but so there's the lawsuit, and she's suing both the worker, which, you know, there's no money in that, I'm sure, but Arby's saying that, firstly, she was allowed to work in this restaurant despite having an active herpes outbreak with visible lesions. And so the victim says, I'm living in constant fear. Well, I don't know if that's overblown, but I certainly would be living in constant nausea, that's for sure. But who in their right mind? Now, what's missing from this article? I'll tell you what's missing from the article. Why did this woman do it? Yeah, sometimes I wonder about journalists, but wouldn't that be your first question? What did she claim was her motivation? She admits she did it. Why? How many other sandwiches did she spit in? Yeah, we'll never know. So, yeah, like I say, if you're trying to lose weight, that story will be a big help. 888-876-5593, 888-ROLLYE. And that will take us, if I can find my magic twanger. We've done a lot of work in the studio because a couple hours before the show started, the computer went completely belly up. Now, this would not be a problem if it didn't have, about 30,000 song files on it. So managed to, and of course, the replacement computer doesn't work, of course, the same way. You know how that is. So managed to find an outboard sound card and managed to get it connected and all that. And then somehow managed to get it together, or so we'll find out when you hear the first bumper. I don't know. But you're hearing me now, so we know that at least the software that allows me to stream is working. Yeah, it's a modern-day miracle. That I'm still breathing is what's a miracle. Mike in Elmwood Park, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Rally. I got a couple of requests if I can get on.
Let's get that out. So I'll write that down. All right. And we have Mike in Elmwood Park. What do you want to hear?
1,000 Stars by Kathy Young.
Kathy Young and the Innocents.
Oh, Kathy Young, I'm
yes,
sorry.
Yes, 1,000 Stars and, on Canadian American. All right.
How about Stay by Maurice Williams and the Zodiac?
Yes, all right. A fine song, less than 2 minutes long. All right. Yeah, it was always good if you were, like, padding for news and needed something. It was, like, a minute 46. I'm like, I'll play that.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. You betcha.
Thank
okay.
You.
Thanks. Appreciate it. All right. So there you have it. Yeah. And that was, the guy from Tampa who produced that. That was a nutcase. But, yeah, for another night. 888-876-5593. Brian is in Seneca. What's happening, Brian?
Not a whole lot. Just got back from getting some supper a little bit ago. fortunately, I got back and finished eating first.
Thank God.
Yeah, because good people who work in the fast food industry work very hard for not a lot of money.
100% true. And very often these days, when they have the apps and everything else, they're made to do the job of three people saying, well, it's automated now. Not exactly.
No, and I stay away from those automated kiosks wherever and whenever possible, because a human can mess it up. A computer will mess it up repeatedly.
Yeah, especially if you've got a special request.
Oh, yeah, and you might want to turn up the volume on your stream.
Really? I'm not sure I can do that right
yes.
now. I'm sure. By the way, I'm sure that's true, and I'm also sure because, you know, like I say, it was a work in progress and Showtime hit. I'm not 100% sure I can do that on the fly, but if we fail now, I'll increase the volume on the replay and increase the volume on the stream for the next one. But I'll try. We'll see what we get. Thanks.
Yeah, and this person... giving the restaurant a black eye for spitting in the food.
Yeah.
Sometimes the customers are rude. You're not supposed to react when the customers are rude.
Well, of course. Oh, no, I understand that anybody dealing with the public is very used to all sorts of abuse. No doubt about that. But I don't care what they do. There's no justification for spitting in the food with an open sore. Well, without anything, for spitting in the food, period. So, yeah.
Well, we're in total agreement. There's no justification for adulterating the food at all, whether
yes.
it's infected spit or other bodily secretions, which is what I was afraid you were going to be saying with the Arby's sandwich at first.
Yeah.
People have done that.
Yeah, I know.
Or cleaning supplies.
Yes, and that can be deadly.
Oh, yeah. And the request I'm thinking of for the last part is if you could play Rocket 88.
Oh, okay, sure. Jackie Brenston. Well, actually, not really Ike Turner, but Jackie Brenston on the label. All right. Yeah.
And right. My last question goes back to the thing that kind of closed out Friday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. The great Joel Sebastian, who's famous for working everywhere else, but Chicago Tribune obituary, and I have read it.
Right.
Stated that he worked for WGN Radio for a short period of time in the late 70s on a classic overnight classic music show.
Wow.
Well, the classic music show was great music from Chicago.
Okay.
I was a teenager at the time, and I didn't sleep very well, so I'm intensely familiar with Jay Andres and Paul Rodgers and even the occasional pinch hit from Cliff Mercer. That was great music from Chicago, sponsored by Tallman Savings and Loan.
All right.
I never heard Joel Sebastian. I'd have recognized him if I had. And while there's no air checks for him on WMAQ either, and he was obviously there. There's no air checks for him at WGN, where Jay Andres does have an air check on him. And Jay Andres originally did his same show by a slightly different name on WBBM radio.
Okay.
And he got pulled over when McCormick, what was his first name?
Franklin.
Yeah, when Franklin McCormick, after he had his heart attack on the air and died the next day.
No, he didn't die. He didn't die the next day. He actually, on that one, when he had a heart attack on the air, he went to the hospital, got better, and then later had the heart attack that killed him.
Okay. Either way, he was gone, so GN managed to lure Jay Andres down the block to Bradley Place from wherever BBM Studios were at the time, and Jay Andres was the main overnight on-air personality. Like you said, Paul Rodgers would pinch hit on the weekends, and once in a great while you'd get Cliff Mercer, and of course Cliff Mercer and Paul Rodgers also worked, mostly Mercer, but some Rodgers on... oh, God, what was the name of that show on Sunday mornings? When Music was... No, not that one. Okay. Music well, Unlimited. Music Unlimited with Sundays. And then Mike Rapchuk came in on the very tail end with When Music Was Music, which was originally big band only. And then when Overnight started the big format switchover, Rapchuk was last man standing. So he took great music from Chicago with a lot more big band music, although they always played some, and less Montovani and classic, although they also always played some.
Okay.
And took it off into the sunset when Eddie Schwartz and then Steve and Johnny and the... Talking and Syndicates took over overnights.
Okay.
Because it used to be Tallman Savings and Loan basically owned WGN's airplay from 11 o'clock to 5 o'clock in the morning, 7 days a week.
Okay. Yeah, tunes from Tallman. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't know as far as that goes, as far as Joel.
But if some of our listeners tonight are older than me, they'd have to be older than me. Like I said, I was a teenager at the time, and I didn't listen every night because sometimes I actually obeyed societal norms and got enough sleep overnight. But I wasn't Insomniac, and
yeah, maybe some of the only name that I know from that, and I remember that Tunes from Tallman, Light Classics. Yeah, God help me. But the only announcer I remember from that was Norman Ross.
Okay, and the WGN used to have an independent fan history website. It's gone. If you deeply mine the company's history section of their website, they have profiles for Jay Andres, Paul Rogers, Mike Rapchek, Cliff Mercer, most of the traffic reporters, Larry Schreiner, and even Arky the Arkansas Woodchopper. But they have nothing at all on Joel Sebastian.
Well, now that's certainly you're talking to all of Chicago, so maybe someone will know and will call us and tell us when. Because as I say, I only knew about Norman Ross, Tunes from Tallman, and then he had the he was on a rotating basis with Milt Rosenberg on Extension 720 for a while and all that. So yeah, that's the only one I know who was associated with that show. But I'm sure there were others, so maybe someone will tell us.
Hopefully so.
I hope so, too. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it, Brian.
Yep, take care.
All right. So, all right. Yeah. So if you remember, Tunes from Tallman Savings and Loan, then let us know, other than Norman Ross, who did that show. And, classical kind of, well, not kind of. Classical leaves me cold. And I certainly appreciated Franklin McCormick, but I mostly appreciated not listening to that. All right. But, hey. Big audience, big fans. Same with Milt Rosenberg. I mentioned this story many times. The first time I listened to him, he was talking about Muslims in 7-Eleven, and I thought he meant at the convenience store. So, like, there are a lot of them. They were talking about the year and the invasion, and I thought, oh, man, I'd have done better if it was a show about 7-Eleven. So, anyway, you probably are a little more cultured than am I, and maybe you know. So let us know. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Just a breeze will muss your hair, but you smile away each little care. And if the rain should make you blue, you say tomorrow is anew. Blue be your eyes, blonde your hair. You realize beyond a care, life's in a hurry, but you've got no worry. You're so mystifyingly glad. I'm Mr. Dyingly Sad. And when the leaves begin to fall, that's the rainbow winter's call. I feel my tears, they fall like rain, weeping forth the sad refrain. Blue, dark, and dim, it may seem, you mark the grin, the moonbeam. Right into a smile, pray tell me, how all the while you can be so mystifyingly glad. I'm Mr. Dyingly Sad.
WGN Radio, I'm Ronnie James. Yeah, and I still rue the day that I pulled some of these files from CDs, because they're never the original 45 versions. That drives me crazy. I know, I say that often, and one of these days I'll actually correct that. But Mr. Dyingly Sad is pretty hard to ruin no matter what. That is The Critters, and that was a request from Bob in Willowbrook, who was surprised I'd play it. And I actually truly love that song. Well, the 45 version anyway. And Don Chacon of the Critters wrote that. And he was an interesting guy. He was from Jersey City. And he Artie Ripp produced it, by the way, which is a whole other story. Don wound up writing that and recording it and then entered the Air Force and came out. And it turned out that after that, you know, there were no Critters, obviously, but Frankie Valli enlisted him to join a revamped lineup of the Four Seasons. And actually, he played guitar, contributed lead vocals. He was even the lead vocal on December 1963. I'll tell you more about that, but John says it's time for the news, and it sure seems like that. So we'll pick it up right after that on WGN Radio.
See, see, see. C C C A A A A minor F F F F F G G G G7.
That playing on the radio, why do I start swaying to and fro? I have never heard that song before, but if I don't hear it anymore, it's still familiar to me, sends a thrill right through me, cause those chords remind me of the night that I first fell in love to.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and yeah, it was Ken in Chicago who requested those Magic Changes, which was a Johnny Contardo, and Sha-na-na, lead singer Sha-na-na, and actually it's credited to Sha-na-na on the Grease soundtrack album, but that was his request, and happy to do that. All right, so Greg is a first-time caller. Welcome to WGN Radio, Greg.
Raleigh, how are you? It's great to call. It feels so weird.
Well, I'm so glad you did call. I'm better now that you called. So what's on your mind?
Thank you. I don't know, just something. I would love to dedicate a song to my fiance. We're younger, I think, for the listening age. We're in our mid-30s, and we have two kids. And just something, I don't know, maybe Al Green, the weather, something. You're an expert at that.
Well, no, you pick it out. I can certainly pick out an Al Green song, but if you have a favorite, let me know what it is.
Okay, how about Let's Stay Together? That's an
okay.
easy one.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. And let's hope you do. Yeah, for the sake of the two
Thank
kids
you.
Anyway. All right, so.
Any advice for us, Raleigh?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely not. as far as that goes. But what I will say, I always, when friends of mine are getting married, I always give them a horrible piece of advice, but it's the truth every time. And that's,
I need it.
Well, here's the deal. And you don't tell your fiance about this. Look at your fiance and see the way she treats the people in her life she really hates. All right. Understand that may be how she winds up treating you. Because everyone I know who's gone through a divorce and has these horror stories, I always say, well, did you have a clue about that? Well, I knew they treated other people like that, but... So, yeah, make sure that you're okay with what she does with the people she doesn't like.
Raleigh, that's fantastic, and you're right. I'm going to look at that because I've seen that, and I've also seen how she treats the people she does like, and it's... And she's a teacher, so I see the kids, how she treats the kids she doesn't like, and it's pretty dang good. So I'm like, what's going on, Bill? Yeah. I can get it back together. We'll stay together.
Yeah, well, so there you go. You'll know. Good luck.
Raleigh, thank you. It's okay. So nice to hear your voice.
Call me again sometime. I appreciate it.
Yes, thank you.
All right, good deal. And absolutely, we'll do Let's Stay Together. So 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. Floyd in Iowa, welcome to WGN Radio.
Thank you, Raleigh. Raleigh, there was an artist wrote a song, The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, Gordon Lightfoot.
Yeah, Gordon Lightfoot. Yeah. What a horrible song, but yes.
You said the song, I loved it, Raleigh. The first time I heard that song, the tune, I was drawn in instantly. It's haunting. The instruments he chose on that, the wording he chose for his lyrics, I think he said he worked on that for about a month, maybe a month and a half, maybe longer. But I'll tell you, he's gone now. But Art Bell always wanted to interview him. He never got. I don't know if he ever got a chance to do it or not. But let me tell you about this song. When I heard those lyrics, the old cook came on deck, said, "Fellas, it's too rough to serve you, to feed you." Then he went back down. The very next words he came up, and the cook said, "Fellas, it's been good to know you."
Yeah.
And it goes on. The next one is, the main hatchway caved in.
Well, no, before that, the captain wired in that he had water coming in.
No, that was after.
Yeah, that was after Fellas, It's Been Good to Know You.
Yeah, and then I realized this guy is telling a story, and of course all songs are a story, but he's telling a story that's compelling. I had to listen to it to get the end of the story, and then, of course, keep going with it. And then he goes on, and you remember that movie with Gregory Peck and Orson Welles, Moby Dick. That, even though that's a seafaring movie, and these people are in an inland waterway, they're still mariners. When he talks about that ship going down, and then he goes into the Maritime Sailors Cathedral, the church bell chimed rang 29 times, and then he goes into that. That's what reminded me of that scene with Orson Welles, was the preacher in the movie Moby Dick, walked onto a gangplank with the as a sermon or a parsonage place to deliver the sermon from. That, and then the whole aura of the mariner. That this fellow life again, he's gone now. He captured that. The instruments he used, the techniques he used to play on the guitars and such. But then just the plotting of it goes on, and he talks in the end there. Again, the church bell chimed rang 29 times for each. But that you couldn't stand it. The one I couldn't stand was the one he had before that, Sundown. Now Art Bell heard that, and he wanted to interview the guy because that song also told the story.
It was a true story.
Yeah, that's what I heard too. Yeah. Apparently, what it was is he'd been sneaking around to see some other guy's wife. I don't know who. But and it probably never will now because they're both gone, Art Bell and Gordon Lightfoot. But I couldn't stand that one. When I heard this one, The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, that's the one I was hooked. Mm. And then come to find out the guy had been, of course, I just found out about it later, but he'd been a musician for decades.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I guess since he's gone now, a Canadian, mm-hmm. he would tour, and there was a group he had on with him on stage with the Good Brothers. I think that's what they were called.
Mm-hmm.
Something about Bound for Alberta, all that. But the thing I got hooked on was that Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Why didn't you like that?
I did like about it, it was 6 minutes and 2 seconds long. So the reality is
long, yeah.
The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down. By then, I was out of the control room, and I wasn't back into the control room. Superior, they said, never gives up or dead when the gales of November come early, over and out. So that gave me 6 minutes to leave the control room,
go to the bathroom,
read the memos on the general manager's desk. Yeah. Whatever. And it's not, I think most of the shipwreck songs are awful. And it sort of follows a pattern. You know, that horrible song about the Titanic and that horrible song about the
Passage. I never heard that.
Oh, yeah, you have. My heart goes on. Celine Dion, you've heard it. The Poseidon Adventure song that Maureen McCormick did, The Morning After. Oh, my dear God. So, yeah, if there's a shipwreck involved.
No,
I mean, I didn't even like Come On Home to My Boat Baby. But anyway, what can I tell you? I just didn't like it.
I'll tell you what. That tune, the ones you're naming there, to me, that's a whole other genre. That's not even close.
Yeah, they're all bad. Well, they have a commonality in my mind. But anyway, if you're telling me you're requesting The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, one night I'll get up.
No. Here's the one that I was just telling the story on that.
Uh-huh.
The one for a week. Oh yeah, maybe good to go. But unless you got to go to the bathroom, because
well,
you can plan and come back in 6 minutes.
Talk radio is wonderful. You get top and bottom hour news, plenty of time to go. But okay, so what?
Absolutely. Okay. Now the thing I'm looking at on this request is that you met Neil Levang. I talked about when that old cowpoke would write the Ghost Riders in the Sky.
Right.
I heard you talking about. And I must have been looking at a different video because I seen the one I think you were talking about. The star of the show wasn't Neil Levang. The star of the show wasn't Lawrence Welk. There's some guy in the back that was playing maracas.
Yeah, right.
I said, Raleigh was right. That guy was comical.
Yeah, it was.
He knew he was the star of that.
Yeah, it was.
He was the star, and he knew it.
Yeah.
He got up and just went to town on that. And then I realized that's what she was talking about.
Yes. Well, good. Glad you saw it.
I'm glad. I wish you would have told me that because I would have seen that a lot earlier. But I caught it.
Yeah.
I caught it, and thank you for it.
All right.
And then again, that Neil Levang, that you played that one, Ghost Riders in the Sky, that was out. And then the one I didn't hear, did you ever get around to getting Wild Bill Moore, O Spodeyody? Did you get that one on? I missed it.
It's actually Drinking Wine, Spodeyody, Drinking Wine, yes, and played the original, too.
You know what that was? We did that in basic training, our drill sergeants. would just call the cadence of that to keep us marching along. Anything that would get that cadence call.
Well, yeah.
That's what got us going for that.
And, of course, you know, originally when Stick McGee was singing it, it wasn't Spodeyote, you know, so you understand that.
And also, of course, the sergeants put in the spicy words in there to keep you moving along, keep you from falling asleep.
It was originally spicy. It was originally drinking wine. MF for drinking wine, and the bot was GD, you know, so...
Of course, that must be, because we're not on satellite, we're on broadcast radio,
yes,
right?
We are.
That's why we have to clean things up.
Yes, we are. Well, we have to clean them up anyway. All right,
Oh, that's the way it goes. Now, by golly, I tell you what, it's always good to hear your show, though, Raleigh.
Well, it's good to hear from you.
Probably the best one on the air. Let me talk to you later.
Okay, good. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Yeah, and Stick McGee, the Atlantic found him through his brother Brownie, and oh man, the whole story of what's his name, the guy from Atlantic. I didn't really like Jerry Wexler. Yeah, going down there and then hearing it in its raw version, said we can't record that. But yeah, well, so hence Spodeyote was born. All right, so let's talk about radio, my favorite subject, and when I do, I love talking about the Sea Crane Company because they're just the best. Yeah, Bob Crane should be knighted because he cared about radio reception when no one else did. And I'll tell you what, every radio that the Sea Crane Company has the commonality of having terrific reception, AM and FM. And one of the nicest tabletop radios, bedside radios, and it's not that big, I say that, but it's a great bedside radio, the CC Radio 3. It's the one John keeps on his side of the bed. It's the almost everything radio because it has Bluetooth. And the reason it has Bluetooth is because the sound from this radio is good enough that you'll want to use it as your Bluetooth speaker. But more to the point, it's got terrific AM and terrific FM reception, period. And it's got a great sound, wonderful voice quality, but you can tune it for your perfect pitch, separate bass and treble controls and all of that. It's also got, of course, the weather band and emergency weather and a clock, an alarm, a timer, all the things that make it a bedside jewel. But it also has the 2-meter ham band. Ham's drawing day-to-day, but in an emergency, you may hear information there you're not hearing anywhere else. So it runs on the included power cord or a set of batteries. That'll last you over 170 hours. You'll be surprised how long those batteries will work. But if you're looking for a good radio bedside companion that has it all and has terrific reception, yeah, presets and all that kind of stuff, go to ccradio.com. Look at the CC Radio 3. I keep the 2E by my bedside as far as that goes because I'm not a Bluetooth gal. But if you are, man, this has it, and it is just great. So ccradio.com, you look at the CC Radio 3. If you can't go online, you can call them. They've got terrific customer service, 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. But if you can go online, ccradio.com. You tell them Raleigh sent you. You check out that CC Radio 3 on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Riley James. That's for Greg and his fiancée. Let's Stay Together, 1971 on High. Yeah, Al Gritz Green. So, yes, times were good and bad for him, too. Gary is in Elmhurst and a long-time WGN listener. So, do you remember when Joel Sebastian was on WGN?
I don't think he was ever on. I think I agree with the earlier caller. I remember him from the Rock Jock.
Right,
WCFL,
of course.
WCFL, I think.
Well, sure, all the places. But it's interesting that it seems to be, whoever picked that up, it's in all the obits. So I don't know either.
Yeah, and I have the whole history, kind of like your first caller. So, I never remember him on WGN at all.
Right.
Anyway, I did want to say, you just have just the greatest show.
Aren't you kind?
Because it's one of a kind. And I was telling my wife today, I love the fact that you say, I'm not going to play that song. I hate that song.
Right, exactly.
You know, that's kind of refreshing.
Yeah. No, you know, the truth of the matter is that I just get on the air and talk to my friends, so to speak. And that's why I never watch the clock. Hell, the listeners have to tell me it's time to break for the news, for God's sakes. You know, I just sit down and have a nice time for 3 hours and hope more you're going to call and we'll talk about whatever you want. So I break every format rule known to man and I don't care. So that's it.
It's fantastic. I'm older. I've been listening to radio a long time. And it's really growing on me more and more, your show.
Are you from Chicago? Are you from Chicago originally?
I grew up in Chicago.
Okay.
Yes, I've been here all my life.
Favorite morning man was from Chicago, and maybe you are old enough to remember him, Dan Sorkin.
Dan Sorkin.
I've heard the name, like 58 to 62 or so on CFL, playing, you know, MOR music. But he was just brilliant. And every time I think about great jocks, I always say those MOR morning men are so underrated, and he was just the best.
Okay. That was a little before my time.
Okay.
I started with WLS in 1963.
Okay.
I'm about that age. So.
All right. Yeah, right. Well, then, you remember CFL through all its machinations, including when they inexplicably went Beautiful Music when Lou Jack was doing Afternoons.
Yes, it was a strange time.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then everything went kind of over to FM, or the stuff I was listening to.
Started to, sure, absolutely.
But then I've always liked jazz and different things over the years, so I listen to a lot of things, but you've touched on so much, and one thing I wanted to say was funny. You played the Miss Dyingly Sad. It was requested yesterday.
Mr. Dyingly Sad. Yes,
Mr. Dyingly Sad. And I really really like that song. And I was humorously thinking last week, listening to it, and I think, I wonder if Riley James would hate that song or like that song. And I was predicting you would maybe like it because it has the chording is kind of that melancholy, bittersweet minor, major seventh chording. And I thought maybe she would like it. So.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, great. You're favorites. So mystifyingly glad. I'm Mr. Dyingly Sad. Yeah. And
it really cuts through.
Yeah, it does. I was mentioning about the guy who wrote it, who then went to the Four Seasons. And after that, he wound up going to Tommy James and the Shondells. So, he had a bit of a career there. And, of course, he wrote it and wrote the Critters' big hit, Younger Girl. So, I do like it. I didn't like Younger Girl that much, but boy, when Mr. Dyingly Sad came, I said, this is great. And of course, that was the kiss of death. We knew it would never be a big hit. I loved it. So,
yeah, because you liked it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that pretty much was it. I'm so glad you called.
Yeah, and can I do one other thing or not?
I don't see why not.
Okay, I wanted to mention, because back to WGN. Probably 30 years ago, there was a fellow named Floyd Brown who did a Sunday night show.
Uh-huh.
And I learned a lot of good music then. And he would play like Nat King Cole and Dinah Washington, things like that. And your other favorite song, which is one of my favorites, you played last week, that Sunday, summer.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I first heard from Floyd Brown on that Sunday night show, and I thought, wow, that is really something.
He made it till like 92 years old. He only died a couple of years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he was
such a gentleman and seemed like a really nice man. And I love the music he picked out.
Yeah, absolutely. So. And he was wonderful because he also was a sportscaster and did TV and everything else and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, he was from Elgin originally. John says, I'm out of time. We're done. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you. Okay,
all
bye.
Right, thank you. Bye.
All right. News is on, I think, as I speak on WGN Radio.
You've heard of jalopies, you've heard the noise they make, but let me introduce my new Rocket 88. Yes, it's straight, just one way. Everybody likes my Rocket 88. Baby, we'll ride in style, moving all along. Smart and designed, black convertible top, and the gals don't mind. Sporting with me, riding all around town for joy. Blow your horn, Raymond, blow!
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that song was a lawsuit waiting to happen. I'll tell you what, fortunately for all involved, those records didn't make a whole lot of money then, so it probably wasn't worth it to go into it, but if you take a look at it, it's credited to Jackie Brinston and his Delta Cats. Well, the Delta Cats were actually Ike Turner's backup band, The Kings of Rhythm, and Ike Turner actually wrote it, but the one thing that's true is Jackie Brinston, who was Ike's sax player from the band, did sing it. He did do lead, and Ike was rehearsing them at the Clarksdale, Mississippi Riverside Hotel and all that, and some versions later you see Turner getting some writer's credit, but most of the time it's all Jackie Brinston. Well, the reality is, I don't care if it's Ike Turner or it's Jackie Brinston, it was neither of them. And why I say that is you got to go back a little bit first. And if you'll go back to 1947, and also 48, we'll get you that one in a moment. But as far as 47, we're talking about Jimmy Liggins and Cadillac Boogie. Sound a little familiar?
To have a boogie with the woogie wouldn't wait. Bought me a long black cap like eight. It's all reeked, solid streamlined.
And that was on Specialty in 47, and you're saying, well, there's no 88 in it. Well, that's fine. We took care of that in 48 with Pete Johnson, his piano, and his sextet, because he did it years later, and his version was, of course, Rocket Boogie 88, if you haven't heard that one. Say a lawsuit waiting to happen, except Now, firstly, this was on Chess, the Rocket 88, Jackie Brenston / Ike Turner version was on Chess in 1951, but actually was done in Sam Phillips' studio in Memphis, the Sun Studio. And so that's where it was done, and then Sam licensed it to Chess. Now, as far as what they make on this, well, Turner and the band got $20 each for the record. Now, Brenston, he sold the rights to Phillips. And, yeah, so that Phillips could license it to Chess. He got $910. So, yes, and to this day we're playing it. All right, so there you have it. Probably more than our requester wanted to know, but there it was. Now I don't remember who requested it. I'm so sorry. All right, so somebody or other. All right, you heard it. Probably maybe you remember. All right, 888-876-5593. Joanne is a first-time caller, and she's in Evanston. So, Joanne, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hello, Raleigh. I just adore you. May I say that?
Well, thank you.
Am I allowed?
That's very kind of you. I'll take it. I appreciate that.
You are phenomenal. I am in such admiration of your encyclopedic knowledge of contemporary music. Contemporary is a very, it's a very vast statement. I mean, label, I would say. I'm a classical musician, but I absolutely adore Motown and following and previously that, the thing is I'm living in Chicago, but I am a New York girl. I would get off at the station in New York City at Jamaica in 1974, 1975, and as I would step out of the train car, and I was in Jamaica on my way to teaching high school, it would blast the Motown, and that's when I fell in love with Motown.
Oh, well, good.
It was fantastic. It was beautiful. But I just wanted to say that when you played, it's about a week ago, that you were featuring Johnny Mathis.
Yeah.
That Sunday, the day I met you.
Oh, yeah, that was Nat King Cole, yes.
Nat King Cole. Yeah. I just fell in love.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't Johnny Mathis also sing this or not?
He might have covered it on an album, and I can probably look for that, but he never released it as a single.
Okay. But I have to say it was something. And
okay,
then,
all right, here we go. I can answer your question. Johnny Mathis in 1983 released an album called Unforgettable, a musical tribute to Nat King Cole. And right, and on that album is That Sunday, That Summer.
That's it. Because I thought, and maybe I'm wrong, but I thought that you played his version.
No, I don't.
I thought you didn't.
No.
Okay.
Always
but
Nat King Cole.
Anyway.
I'm a loyalist to that. 1963, Capitol, the 45. That's my favorite.
1963.
Yeah.
Absolutely phenomenal. And then just before that, Raleigh, you played a wonderful Rub It In. I don't know who the artist
was. It's Rub It In. That was an interesting guy. That was Billy Crash Craddock. And he was one who they were trying to make him kind of a teen idol. It didn't work. But ultimately, he got into country. And starting in the early 70s, he started having hits. And Rub It In was a big hit in 1973.
Well, could you do me a favor? Could you spell his last name for me?
Sure. C-R-A-D-D-O-C-K. Billy,
O-C-K.
Yeah, Billy Crash Craddock. Billy Crash Craddock.
I got it.
Yeah, he was from Greensboro originally, and
you had me dancing around my kitchen floor. I was in the kitchen doing stupid things. And I was thinking, what the dickens? It was the first time in a few years, because there was a very serious, unfortunate tragedy, and this just uplifted me, and I thought,
good.
She's got to know it. She's got to know this.
Great.
That music, I've always used classical music as therapy, but in these last years, your kind of music is is helping me much more. Don't ask me why, but it is.
Well, that's great. Yeah, a lot of it is just requests. Yeah. It's what listeners want to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because here's Billy Crash Craddock, a kid from North Carolina, and the first, when they were trying to make him a teen idol, the first hit he had was actually in Australia. It was called Boom Boom Baby, and that was 1959, and they thought, oh, they're going to make this guy a star, and of course it never happened. But then when he got to ABC, and I think it was like the end of 73, it was released in 74, Rub It In just became a big hit.
Yeah, and why is it that too many of us are not familiar with this Rub It In?
Well,
why?
Well, you know, 74, I don't know how many people were listening to country. I was, but if you... You were in New York in 74, I guess WHN would have been the only people who might have played it. You know, not a lot of New York was never known for it's a country affiliate.
No, no.
Yeah,
you're,
I know.
Absolutely right. I would listen to I was a radio fanatic, but I never heard the country stuff. They didn't play it.
There was a club in Manhattan that did Old Lunnies. I used to take acts to Old Lunnies from Nashville, and that was about it. And most of the people would be there. You came from, you know, Central Jersey or something. It was not big.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, the other place that we never got any airplay in country was the Boston market. And I remember one day, one of the country acts, Bob Lumen, came into my office and he wanted to go over sales figures. And so I gave him the charts and all that. And he said, Boston, it says 3. What does that mean? I said, well, Bob, it means 3 copies. He said, that's not
that's
possible.
It.
I said,
to
yeah,
me, so.
3 copies.
Yeah.
So that's Boston for you.
Well, yeah, and then I just wanted to say one other thing. You are so compassionate, empathetic, understanding, extraordinary when people call in that they have medical problems.
Oh,
and I think,
yeah.
Oh, my God, and you're so knowledgeable. And this is it's something extraordinary, Raleigh. Oh. You are. Phenomenal.
That's nice of you to say. But yes, if you are facing medical problems, man, nighttime is the worst time. And I can really get that.
Indeed.
Yeah, especially when suddenly you've got new symptoms and you don't know what this is.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've always told the story why you shouldn't look things up online, because this actually happened to me.
No.
Yeah, John was out of town and I got really sick and I knew that my blood pressure went through the roof and all this. So I start to look up my symptoms and I'm reading and it's getting worse and worse and I'm hyperventilating.
Exactly.
And then I see the words dull coat and I realized I was reading about veterinary medicine because I did not have a dull coat. So at that point I had to laugh and say, well, Dr. Google has failed me. I am not going to look anything up ever again.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. You're absolutely right. And you know what, there are certain times of the day and in the nighttime we don't need to be looking up this stuff.
Oh, I know, but when you're alone and you're worried, so if you call the radio station,
right.
I am going to talk to you.
Absolutely. You are the best. I love you.
Oh, thank you
so much.
Call me again. I really appreciate the call. I'd love to hear from you again.
I surely will.
Okay. Thanks,
Joanne. I love you.
Okay, bye. All right.
Bye.
How nice.
Bye.
All right. So Evanston checks in. Yes, home of Patty Drew, don't you know? So 888-876-5593. We will get to another one of your requests in moments. We got Marguerite in Chicago and Gary and Elmhurst. Cindy's in Chicago. Marty's in Whiting and Stan is in Dearborn. All right, get down with your bad self. And there's one line available for you if you want it on WGN Radio.
Ooh.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yes, Kathy Young and the Innocents, 1960, and Indigo, actually. And it got to number three on the top 100. And guess what? It was a remake. 10 years earlier. Don't you remember the Rivoliers? Yeah, I know. Very few people do. But here's what it sounded like originally.
A thousand stars in the skies, like the stars in your eyes. They say to me that there'll never be no other love like you for me. Stars in the skies make me realize you are the one love that I'll adore. Tell me you love me. Tell me you're mine once more.
And after you hear that, you still want to hear Kathy Young? All right, well, the Rivoliers, and they're from New York. I don't know, Bronx or Brooklyn, but that was on a Baton, and recorded in 53 and released on 54. And that was, I think that was the first single that the Rivoliers actually released. And Alfonso Delaney and Eugene Pearson, who wrote it, by the way, Eugene Pearson wrote A Thousand Stars. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-RALEIGH. We've got Marguerite in Chicago. What's up tonight, Marguerite?
Good evening, and thank you for taking my call, and hello, Raleigh James family.
Yes, and hello to you, too. What's up tonight?
Thank you. Was that, did you say Jan from Evanston, the caller just before the commercial break?
I was afraid you'd ask me this. I don't remember.
Okay, that's okay. She's from Evanston.
Yes.
She called saying just what I was doing. And what I called to say too. And welcome,
Miss Evanston. I think it was Joanne. I think it was Joanne. But this is terrible. I should remember these names, and I don't.
Okay. Well, sister from Evanston, welcome to the Raleigh James Dance community. Because you know I'm the co-captain. We all are co-captains of the Raleigh James Dancers.
Very nice.
And I was doing exactly that to the song.
Well, good.
I was on my feet. I said, if that is not enough to get a person up and moving, I don't know what is.
All right.
Even if you're seated, you're dancing, you're up, you're moving. Thank you for your music and whoever requested that song, if it wasn't a request.
Yeah, well, it absolutely was a request. It was Mike in Elmwood Park wanted the Kathy Young version, and I thought, well, we got to have equal time for the Rivoliers.
Yes, you did give his name. Yeah. Thank you, Mike, for your request, because and for all the versions you played, I was up moving to them.
Good.
And you can't help but, you know, you can't help but.
Yeah.
Even the tap dancing, I put tap dancing in for us, too.
All right.
And, you know, in memory of Mr. Tommy Sutton, who founded Mayfair Academy. I was in Mayfair, you know, going to Mayfair. My mother had me there. Because she said, Chicago has Grant Park, and then they've added on to it further north, Millennium Park.
Uh-huh.
Maggie Daly, Mayor Daly's wife, was really an advocate for that space. And so they give free music concerts.
Right.
Mr. Petrello, I think, was a conductor of one of the orchestras in Chicago, and they started free music, concerts.
Wow.
On Thursday evenings or Fridays and Saturdays and Sundays. Oh. And so my mother said, I wasn't listening to the music. I was always up dancing. I said, I was listening. That's what I was dancing to, the music. I was listening. That's why I was moving to what I was listening
to. Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. Being trained by Tommy Sutton, that's really royalty. People don't realize it. You know, he performed with everybody from Duke Ellington and Count Basie to Nat King Cole and all that everywhere. And he was a choreographer also. And that's, a lot of the dancing and stuff like that. And, Gay New Orleans with Gypsy Rose Lee. And he worked with Bill Bojangles in the Red Hot Mikado. And this guy was just big stuff. And he opened that studio on Wabash, which was an immediate
success. Yes, in downtown Chicago, in the Fine Arts Building, too, on Michigan Avenue.
And then in 57, that's when he established the Mayfair Academy of Fine Arts. And
You know your history on the south side of Chicago.
Yeah, he was
back
a
then
big...
called Parkway, which then renamed Dr. Martin Luther King Drive on 79th Street in the Chatham community, the Parkman of Chatham community,
He was a big
deal. And that's where I started when he was in the Grand Crossing Fieldhouse.
Okay.
Across from Hirsch High School around 75th, 76th, and Ingleside in that area. Then he later moved to a church, and then he bought an apartment building and converted it to a studio. And now, he had his daughters, Peggy Sutton and Jackie Sutton. And so Peggy moved the building to 8701 South Bennett.
Okay.
In what's called the South, or the Calumet Heights neighborhood where I live now. And some people used to call it South Shore Valley because it's at the foot of Peel Hill.
But now it's
what they call the Mayfair Arts Center.
Hang on a minute. I want everybody in Chicago to hear this, and we're in the middle of the news, so stay where you
Hold
are.
Hold on. Yes.
Don't go away.
We'll do.
All right. We'll do it.
So sexy looking, I know from the feeling that it comes from the heart.
Easy loving,
every day's Thanksgiving to count all my blessings. I wouldn't know where to start. Every time I look you over, so real to life it seems. Upon your pretty shoulders, there's a pair of living in a beautiful dream. Every time I look you over, so real to life it seems.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. I don't even remember who requested that, but it was last night, yes. And I remember when I first said Easy Lovin', I thought we were going to talk about the Wade Flemons record. I got all excited. And we weren't. It was Freddie Hart who wrote it as well and released it in 1971 on Capitol. And yes, it was absolutely a hit. It would have been so much nicer if he requested Wade Flemons.
Sweeter than sugar, better than spice. Come to me, baby, and give me some nice, easy loving.
All right, but I digress. Now we're back to Marguerite. We were talking during the news, me not even realizing it, of course, about Tommy Sutton, who was just incredible, who ultimately was teaching at Spelman. He moved to Atlanta, so it's good to hear that his daughter stayed in Chicago. That's good.
I'm just speechless. I went to Spelman College.
Did you really?
Well, by the time I graduated years later, Mr. Sutton was, yes, there. I graduated in 81, so he was there.
Yeah, he got there in 79, 80. I think. 79 and 80,
yes.
For sure.
Wow. And I went to the concerts that, you know, even though I was out of school, I was still in Atlanta. So I went to some of the dance concerts because what he did, he took several of the schools that make up the Atlanta University Center.
Uh-huh.
Clark College, Morris Brown College at the time.
Right.
Clark College was not Clark Atlanta University then. Morehouse College and Spelman College, all those students from those schools were put together, and I've forgotten the name of the dance group company that he had where he was teaching, and they performed. How did you know? And I called about something completely different. And we've got into dance and everything because of the music. It's just, you can't help but dance to it, even if you're slow moving like the one you just played.
Oh, yeah.
It's now the Mayfair Arts Center, and many different dance companies from all over Chicago have dance spaces there and teach classes. And, oh, my goodness. So what I called to ask was, I saw the movie Grease 100 times.
Okay.
What, after graduating high school, that summer in between, you know, college. Or maybe the summer after my sophomore year in college. In any case, I saw it on the screen in the theater several times, and then, you know, lately it's been on TV a couple of times. And I'm a Grease fanatic. So the song that you played, was that, well, you know, it was a play based on which school, Mather or...
You know what's terrible?
Steuben High School, North South Chicago?
Here's what's terrible. I am so much not a visual person. I've never seen the movie. Not once.
Okay, that's okay.
I know nothing.
It was first a play,
right,
and then they made it into the movie, and it was based on a high school on the north side of Chicago. I forgot if it was Mather or Von Steuben or another one. I've forgotten. And so it's pretty much an autobiographical. It's pretty much autobiographical by the man who wrote it. It was pretty much his life.
I think the school in the play, it didn't exist, was Rydell High.
In the movie, it was Rydell High, set in California.
And they say it was based on Taft.
Taft High School, that's it, thank you. Leonardo Taft, yes, the sculpture.
I don't know.
Yes, it was. And this student, the man who wrote it was a student there. He went there, it was basically his life. And so in the movie, which is what I saw, and he still had a hand in helping with the movie, the man who wrote the play, so that song you played, was it written for the movie, for the play, or was that a real 1950s? I thought it was a real song from the 50s that they used in the movie.
I don't think so. I do not. And you're probably talking about Jim Jacobs. He's the guy who wrote it, I know. But I can probably look that up.
Okay, because when you mentioned Sha-na-na was on that song you played, I know they were a group that was put together in the 70s.
Right, a recreation group, right, exactly.
Right, but, a recreation group, right. They weren't really a 1950s group, but that was their thing. That was their music.
Right, that was a tribute thing.
Style.
There were several. Vince Vance and the Valiants were another one like that. There were several at the time who all were doing that kind of stuff. But I'm looking
because when I was in high school, we had a lot of sock hops, and we dressed like the 50s. You know, girls were wearing their mother's poodle skirts, and we just idolized the 50s. I don't know why. So I was wondering, okay. And then, you know, that came out after high school, the movie Grease. So I fell in love because it was so much like my time in high school with my friends. And thank you so much for everything you did.
Jim Jacobs wrote it along with Warren Casey in 1971 for the original Broadway musical. And so it debuted on stage in 1972 during the music's original run, and the character Duty sings it while playing the guitar. And, of course, Sha-na-na did it in the movie. But, yeah, so they wrote it. So, yeah, Warren Casey and Jim Jacey. Yeah. And
well, see, those men were in high school in the 50s, so they knew what they were doing when they wrote it, even if they wrote it in the 70s.
And it's interesting because there were 19 versions of that. And Sha-na-na wasn't the first, of course. The ones from the play were. But then there were other. Sam Harris did it in the 90s. Lou Christie did a version of it in 1998. I can only imagine. So, it's. I should find that Lou Christie and see what it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, I'll do that.
And thank you.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you for everything you do for us. We just love you. I could start singing the hello, Riley. Like hello, Dolly.
Yeah, boy.
Oh, you're just so good to us. And thank you.
Well, thanks for calling. That's what I appreciate.
And you're welcome.
Goodbye. Yeah, I couldn't do this show without you guys, you know, because you are the backbone of this. You are the callers, so that's what makes it happen. But yeah, I'm going to see if I have that Lou Christie, those Magic Changes, 1998. How about that? I don't know. We'll find out. Gary is in Elmhurst. Welcome to WGN Radio. Well, Gary was in Elmhurst. He gave up. And who could blame him? Yeah, and sorry, I guess I'm just too long-winded. So we'll say goodbye to Gary. And I think I'm trying. And say hello to Cindy. And I've got actually her request coming up next, her lazy day. Excuse me. Yeah, I know. I've got a cough button. Do I use it?
Yeah.
No, sorry about that. So hello, Cindy. What's up?
Well, yeah. Now, what was my song?
Lazy Day, Frank, Spanky and Our Gang. That's the one I've got up here.
Okay. No, I have another one.
Oh, of course.
Hey, Baby, Let's Dance.
Oh, Hey, baby. No, Let's Dance. You're talking about the Chris Montez Let's Dance. It's probably Chris Montez originally on Monogram Records in 1962. Let's Dance. Hey, baby, won't you take a chance? Come and let's dance. Let's dance. Which would you rather hear, Lazy Days or Lazy Day or Less? Let's Dance.
Let's Dance.
Okay. Yeah, Chris Montez. He sounded a lot different when he was on A&M, that's for sure, doing all those pop standards. So we'll give you Chris Montez on the Monogram label.
And then the thing about it is we have a rant, and I don't, you know, we're just going to, as a collectively, we're going to try and get the people next door to cut down all the weeds and the bushes and called the alderman and the city of Chicago to kill the rats next door.
The poor rats. They've got to be somewhere.
Well, I don't understand why there's a rat infestation, because we have a cat colony. The man has a house for the cats and two doors down. And
you'll have to discuss it with the cats.
Well, you know, if the rats just smell cats, they just vacate.
Well, maybe these rats have a tougher constitution. They're not worried about the cats. And sounds like the cats aren't doing their job. Maybe there's no cat union.
I don't know. And the association, I'm the newest person here. He might get voted out because we're trying, you know, we're like, we, you know, talk to him about it. And he's like, I don't know what to do.
Well, he probably doesn't. It's an honest answer.
He doesn't know what to do about anything.
Well, there you go. He's perfectly honest. He's clueless. All right. So if you want somebody who's not clueless, yes, time to vote often and vote early.
Yeah,
I don't know.
We'll see what we do. Is Sherry, the woman on the first... And then, you know, Sherry posted a picture of the phone number of the Association for the Condo Building.
That's nice. Where did she post it?
Well, you know, on the phone, if anybody else wants to call.
Well, as opposed to the internet at large, that's good.
No, you know, to call, you know, and I said, well, I'll call. So I call, and some woman answers, and she said, I don't know what, you know, why you're calling me. I don't live in it. So apparently that number posted on the building was disconnected years ago and given to a private citizen.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that happens.
So I'm going to knock on the woman's door that is got guidance that she knows. And they demanded we cut down our tree, and we had to pay $2,200 to have our tree cut down.
Must have been a big tree.
Yeah, it was. I don't know. Everything's more expensive. You know, or maybe it was $1,800. I don't know. I don't remember anymore.
You're, by the way, the poster child for why I don't enjoy communal living, won't do HOAs, don't do condos, none of that. Man, you can put up with it, fine. Me, I'd rather have four walls of my own and no one to talk to.
Well, yeah, that's how I'd like to. You know, it was nice at the house, but I couldn't afford the property tab. But it's nice here to have, you know, a lot of the people are, you know, it's nice to have someone to share the problems with.
No. If you say so. I think that's the absolute worst. That is the problem. But then,
and then I don't have to save on my own. The association president saves money if something happens, then we don't have to pay extra.
Right, your emergency contingency fund, yes.
Right, so he's okay with that. But then, I turned on PBS. I'm going to watch the show again. I was just going to Google it. I don't know if this is for your show, but you know how they have puppy mills? You know, like puppy dog.
Wait a minute. I'm getting a... All right, let me get rid of this. That shouldn't even be on there. All right, that's not an alert for Chicago. Do not get excited. Sorry, that was for Arizona. Sorry about that. Go on.
But then this—I mean, I can't even say it. It's just so horrible. But then anyhow, now they have baby mills to adopt babies from, like, this.
Well, they always have. But if you're talking about that, one of the biggest problem here is, pregnancy tourism, where people will come just to give birth here to get citizenship. But that's for another show.
No, that's not what it is.
No, I know. They have all sorts of things like that, but you need to talk about it on some other show.
All right. Well, it's okay. Nothing with politics, so it's like...
Well, it is in terms of who's allowing it to happen. So, anyway.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Okay, well,
all right. We will talk to you later, okay. And we will get your Chris Montez on the air, I promise.
Okay,
thanks. Bye-bye. All right. So, yeah, because we can't live without a Chris Montez request, especially early on. Let's dance. All right. And, yes, I found those magic changes by Lou Christie. I'll also go see what the emergency is in Arizona. And we'll get to Cleveland, Dennis, and Eduardo, and Marty, and Stan. I haven't forgotten Stan. We'll get to Stan next because we're going to talk about Joel Sebastian, who, of course, is from Detroit, don't you know, WXYZ. But before that, all right, we'll talk about that on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Yes, that is Chris Montez, a very young Chris Montez, on Monogram, which was Jim Lee's label. And Jim Lee wrote the song, he produced the song, he put it out on his own label. And, of course, Chris Montez singing the organist. Yeah, because that's what's most dominant in the song. That was Ray Johnson. It was a filicorda, in case you want to know. But I liked like the drums and the bass line, and Ray Pullman played bass, well-known session player. And Jesse Sales was the drummer on that. I think Joel Hill was on guitar, but... not as noticeable. All right, so there is Cindy's request. All right, now, Stan in Dearborn, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. I'd much rather follow Chris Montez than Sparky in our gang.
Yeah. Somehow that told me. Well, I had to make amends after playing Freddie Hart. You know,
that's a good move.
Yeah. And talking about Joel is fun because he started at JBK.
Yeah, and he was real big in Detroit, pretty big in Detroit. He was big on WXYZ.
Yeah.
Starting around 60 or 61.
And left in 60.
And it was at JBK earlier.
Right, and left in 64. And it was a real loss because they were at 1270 a.m. was really hot then, but he got a chance to go to WLS, and who'd turn that down?
Yeah, that's for sure. He was. He also co-hosted the TV show.
Yeah.
And I think it was called The Swinging Kind.
Uh-huh.
And it was, from the WXYZ DJs.
Right,
and
Detroit, exactly.
Music.
Yeah. I thought it was Club 1270. But
that
maybe
was another
not.
Show.
Okay, because he was on that.
Yeah, that's right. The Swinging Kind later became Club 1270.
Yeah, because like 62 to like, you know, in there, last couple of years he was there. So it was Swinging Time before that?
I think so. I think it was Swinging Time.
Okay.
And I think Swinging Time was the afternoon one and Club 1270 the nighttime one.
Okay, yeah, Swinging Time.
I'm not sure, maybe the other way around.
Now, this is interesting. Hang on a minute. I'll talk to you after the news. Don't go away. All right.
Okay.
Because we'll talk about that and Robin Seymour, too, and more coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Les Elgart, 1955, and the Varsity Drag. And that actually was the theme song. I don't think that was the version, but it was the easiest one I could come up with immediately on Club 1270. So we're talking to Stan in Dearborn. And turns out that Swingin' Time, as I kind of suspected, was Robin Seymour's show. So it was sort of a competitor.
Yeah, that's right. There was the WXYZ show was the Swinging Kind, K-I-N-D,
really?
And it was so close to the Swingin' Time that they changed it to Club 1270.
I'll be darned. Now, gosh, I wonder if anybody has, well, of course, nobody's got videos from back then. What am I saying? But don't we wish. Was it also sponsored by Better Made Potato Chips?
I don't remember, but yeah. Lee Allen and Joel Sebastian were on it. They were co-hosts.
Right, and they were co-hosts on Club 1270 till I think Joel left.
Right.
Now, when Joel left in 64, because I think that show was on till 65, did Lee Allen do it by himself or did they shove him with somebody else?
I think he had guests, other DJs that came on with him, but... I wanted to say also that when Joel Sebastian was on there, he made a record from on one of Barry Gordy's subsidiaries on Miracle, and I think he wanted to get a singing career.
Really,
but all he did was kind of talk over that's kind of a teenage love song, and he just paraphrased, kind of talking over.
Was that Angel in Blue?
Angel in Blue.
Oh,
and
God.
The side was Blue Cinderella.
Oh, God, and, yes. These are just terrible.
But they were, yeah. And then Lee Allen had one with Arthur Vandellas backing him up called Set Me Free.
Now, that I've heard, but that sounds better than Angel in Blue.
it actually wasn't pretty bad, except for Lee Allen's... attempt at singing, but he kind of just paraphrased as well. But at least the background was good and the music was good. And he had this thing about a horn, about a horn from Pakistan. And it sounded like one of these old horns you'd have on your bicycle, like a beep beep.
Oh, God.
But it was like kind of a baritone bass.
Okay.
And that was his gig,
Of course, there was a famous Lee Allen, the horn player, Walking with Mr. Lee.
Yeah.
Not the same guy, but what was the name of Lee's single?
I think it's called Set Me Free.
Okay, I got to see if this is... I'm actually looking...
And it's on Tamla, I believe.
Okay.
63 or 64.
Set Me Free. Here it is. It says Rare Motown. Well, I'll bet you it is rare. Wait a minute.
It's not bad.
Really, I got to hear this. I'm absolutely unaware that this record exists.
Hey. Just the other day.
Oh, God.
Set me free.
From a man who came a long, long way.
Wow, he'd like to set me free.
He said this horn, you understand, has come from Pakistan. And when you're all alone, if you dig the fine tone, you just wait and see. This horn, it's gonna set you free. I took this horn. Took it home.
mean I almost ran.
Run, 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 Lee.
And when I heard the fine tone, when I was all alone, all my wishes came true, I mean my dreams of you. It was for the eye to see, but this horn, it'd like to set me free.
How much did they have to pay the Vandellas for that? I hope it was a lot.
At least it has some rhythm to it.
Proceeds went to the YMCA Summer Camp Fund in cooperation with WXYZ Radio, don't you know? I bet you they sent one kid, but God, this is terrible. I mean, this is really terrible. All right.
Yeah, that was his stick, the horn, Lee Allen on the horn.
Yeah, yeah.
But Joe Sebastian was more of he was more straightforward. Lee Allen had a big ego, and
he turned
out to be a pretty big advertising agent. He did a lot. He did real well, and he let everyone know it too.
Oh, I'll bet. I got to hear Angel in Blue. Now, wait a minute.
The story of a devil and an angel in blue. A young girl's dream that never came true. A summer night, August moon, pale starlight, and a misty tune. Their very first night together, they went for a ride. A sudden new feeling they could not hide. As they sat side by side in the
It's written by the A side, that is. The B side was Janie Bradford and Berry Gordy. All right, but the A side was written by someone named Beverly Humphrey. I've never heard of her.
No, I haven't either. The B side is supposedly a song. He attempts singing, but.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fascinating. I might have to find the B side. This is just horrible. I love it.
Yeah, you know, but I kind of missed last Thursday's show when he talked about Joe Sebastian.
Yeah.
I had to get up early Friday, so I couldn't stay up. And I was surprised at it that he passed away.
Oh, well, quite a while ago.
Was it?
This was like 1995. He's been gone quite a while. Let me find out. I'm pretty sure, but I'm looking for this Blue Cinderella at the same time, because you know I gotta hear that. Yeah, so I can't miss that. But yeah, Joel's been Joel's been gone quite a while. And it's sad, but...
Did you do a tribute or something for him?
No, it's just somebody had called, and we were just talking about it, and, you know, one thing led to another, and there it was. I'm looking to see, and I should probably try to pull the obit. So, let's see.
Okay, this is the first hour you're talking.
This is terrible. Someone says he died last year. Could that be possible? No, it's not possible. I'm sure he's been gone a while. And this is apologies to his family if he's not.
That's kind of what I thought too.
If he's not, so then I thought he was, like I say, gone quite a while. Actually, I said 95 was 86.
Wow.
Yeah, so yeah, but I was going to say, I know this has been a while. So if I came up with something that said it was 2025, I'd be in charge. He died in Evanston. He was 53 years old.
That's all.
And
wow.
I remember this. The only reason I remember the obit is I hate it when whoever's writing the obit doesn't get the facts straight. Because it said he started in radio at WXYZ. And I said, that's going to be a lot of news to people listening to him on JVK. So,
that's true.
You know, I mean, it's just like, if you're going to do that, how hard is it to get the lineup right?
I think he went to WXYZ when we had Mickey Shore was a big guy at WXYZ.
Yes, absolutely.
He was not involved, but I guess he quit or they fired him because of the payola. Not that he was involved or anything, but I think he kind of supported it or something or... and then he opened up his own businesses in Detroit, Mickey Shore,
right?
In car radio stereos, and that was a big
right.
big hit.
Right.
But I think Joel Sebastian took his spot. He came over from JBK. That was about 60, I think, or 61. I'm not sure.
Right.
59 or 60, right around that time.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of blurry to me. I had a paper out back then. I was really busy, you know.
Right, of course. yeah, absolutely. But, yeah, and then he left in 64, early in 64. And you know, who wouldn't? You know, you get that call from 50,000 watt WLS and you go. But yeah, Mickey Shore had that mobile electronics deal for
yeah,
years.
Yeah, that was
yeah.
big.
Right. It was big, and he did all right on that. Royal Oak, yeah. Farmington Hills, and all that. And
you were answering some questions, some musical questions earlier, and I had one for you.
Okay.
That are you familiar with a song called Isn't It Wonderful to Dream?
Who's it by?
It's by Herbert Hunter.
Oh, absolutely.
From 1961, I believe.
Absolutely.
And it came in... For some reason, I heard something that reminded me of it, and I was going to ask you about it, I think, because it kind of starts out like a Drifter song, right?
Yeah.
Or a Betty King.
Yeah,
song.
No, absolutely. It was like on Poncello Records or something. Yeah. Yeah, in fact, I've got that. One of the reasons I know this, of course, other than I do remember it vaguely from the States, but it was one of those big Northern Soul records. So, you know, England brings us back our oldies. But, yeah, I remember that. And yeah.
Well, I can't remember when it was out.
Yeah, and of course it has the Drifters feel. You betcha.
Today, she didn't even look my way. Oh, but tomorrow will be another day. Isn't it wonderful? And if I keep dreaming, maybe all of my dreams will come true. Oh, oh, oh.
So, yeah, I do. But there was stuff in the mid-60s, too, I think I've got on this computer other than that, because he did other stuff.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
No, I was going to ask you, we had Ty Hunter with
right.
the Voice Masters in Detroit, and Ty Hunter has a brother... Herschel Hunter, who sang with Martiniques, and I was wondering, is this Herbert Hunter any relation?
Well,
if you would know.
No, here was, I think, I've got two Herbert Hunters that I really liked, and yeah, hard to believe, but one of them was Make Me Know.
No.
Nice stuff, I think, anyway.
Yeah, that's nice. That's for what, 65?
Probably there about. This is Nashville music. I'll tell you who was responsible for Herbert Humphrey. Uh-huh. I've got another one to play for you. Was Ted Jarrett. And Ted Jarrett was one of the most underrated producers. But while all that country stuff was going on in Music City and Nashville, there was another side of Nashville that very few people ever saw, North Nashville. So they called it North, one that more west than North. But anyway, the deal is that this guy, Ted Jarrett, would produce the best stuff. And, you know, other than occasionally it showing up late night on WLAC, no one ever heard it. And it was on labels like Spar and stuff. The other one, I'll hold you in my dreams, let you a little loud.
I'll hold you in my heart till I can hold you in my arms
like you've never been.
In any event, Herbert had a brother, And the brother was Rufus Hunter. And he did a record that I adored. In fact, you know, you talk about your Desert Island records. This one might be on my list. I'm not sure, but it was called Caught Up. Have you ever heard it?
Yeah, I think I've heard Rufus Hunter before.
Yeah, well, Caught Up was the absolute best. So just nice stuff, I thought.
Yeah, it sounds like early 70s or...
late 60s. And, you know, a lot of this stuff was actually some of the Nashville studio musicians, you know, Charlie McCoy and Henry Sirleck and people like that, who'd go do these sessions. And it was just great, I thought. And there's a ton of that. And Pincello and also Refo Ree, Rufus was on Refo Ree. These were all Ted Jarrett's labels. And TJ was another of them. And he was doing this until the 90s for sure.
And that's from Nashville?
Yeah, it's absolutely Nashville, North Nashville, like Jefferson Street. You know, like I say, I was working on Music Row, and I'd talk to people about these places, and they'd look at me like I'd lost my mind, you know?
Gallatin, Tennessee. There it is.
Oh, yeah, well, Gallatin was big time, of course. You know, Gallatin, for
WLAC, yeah.
Randy's Record Shop. But Gallatin was, you know, just north of Hendersonville. It was a little town of its own. It had a radio station, WHIN, and all this. So, yeah, Gallatin was the big time. But North Nashville was just, like, unknown. So, yeah, fun stuff.
Okay, so Rufus Hunter and Herbert Hunter.
Our brothers.
No relation to Ty Hunter. And Herschel Hunter of Detroit.
Right, because wrong cities. I don't think ever had any time in Detroit. I think it was just like straight. Now, before you go, you said you've heard it, and of course I haven't, so I have to hear a little of Blue Cinderella. I'm all excited about this. You know, when I find things I've never heard, it's just, even if they're awful, I want to hear them. So let's...
Okay.
My Blue Cinderella. Lost your fun, and you think your life is done.
This is so bad. How much did they have to pay Janie Bradford to write this thing? Oh, man.
Yeah.
And Berry Gordy produced it. What were they thinking? I know what they were thinking. They were thinking, this guy has a TV show, is what they were thinking.
That's right.
That's the only thing they're thinking. He's got a TV show. We can do it. Or not. Oh, man. It's just awful. I love it.
Oh.
All right. Well, thank you for introducing me to that.
Okay. Well, thanks for the information on Herbert Hunter.
Yeah, and Rufus. Rufus. Yeah. All right. Good deal. Thanks. Okay. Bye.
Okay. Well, thank you. Bye. Bye.
All right. So yes. Blue Cinderella. That's just awful. All right. Well, I'll reconvene. Actually, I'll recover, and we'll pick it up right after the news right here on WGN Radio.
And on the road.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, I had to hear it. That's Lou Christie doing Those Magic Changes. And I think to myself, now, how did this come about? And it turns out it comes back as a rhino. A rhino put an album out, Grease is the Word, Boppin' Tunes from the hit movie. And they enlisted a lot of people on that. Darlene Love, Lou Christie, Leslie Gore, Freddie Cannon, and other names that mean absolutely nothing to me. Pretty much that was it. They did a number of songs and put it out in 1998, and somebody bought it. All right, so 888-876-5593. Ken in Chicago, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. I just caught the end of the conversation, and I don't know if you were talking about Joel Sebastian from WMAQ in Chicago.
Sure, that was one of them, absolutely. Originally from Detroit, JBK, and then WXYZ.
Yeah, I was his one of his producers and engineers during those years when he was at MAQ.
At MAQ, and, all right. Well, then you might know. A lot of people have been asking, and of course I don't know, but when he died in, I guess it was 86, the Obit claimed that for a while he was doing the overnight classical show on WGN, and so far no listener has remembered him, and I don't. Do you remember him on WGN?
No, I don't remember him doing the overnights. I believe at that time Eddie Schwartz was doing overnights.
It would have been right before Eddie, because I think Eddie got there in 82. It would have been right before that. And they did have an overnight classical show for a while, but nobody seems to remember Joel doing it. And what I think is that whoever wrote this obit, who obviously didn't know he was at JBK in Detroit, you know, said he started out at WXYZ. The people went that far back. So obviously there was a certain amount of creative writing. I don't know where they got it, but so far nobody can confirm.
No, but I just was calling in to confirm. He just was a wonderful, wonderful man.
Yeah.
And so kind. And his, when I would be on the other side of the glass and he would be talking, the studio speakers would rattle from his voice.
Wow.
Because it was so low when he
right.
would talk sometimes. And we used to have to call him at 3 a.m. to wake him up. So
okay.
he would, you know, get up to come for the shift. I remember a couple of times him not hanging the phone up, and then all of a sudden you hear him snoring.
Oh, God.
And we had no way to call him back because
right,
the
right.
phone was off the hook.
Exactly. But, oh, that's great. That's perfect.
He was wonderful. And another thing he would do is the 7 to midnight personality was Nancy Turner, and she'd get off, and by the time, you know, you get home and, you know, you're relaxed and you go to bed, it's probably like 2 a.m, and he would call her at like 5:30 a couple of times during the week just to wake her up and aggravate her during the week.
Oh, and, no. Oh,
she was
no.
in the middle of sleep, but yeah, he was great, and then he left and went to WNBC
right.
in New York, and
right.
And then tragically really died very, very young,
yeah.
like in his 50s, I think.
So. I think he was 53 years old. It was 86. And I don't know. Now, is Nancy Turner, who, of course, was in Chicago Radio for years, the same Nancy Turner who's with Moody Radio in Chicago?
That is correct.
Wow.
I also produced her for many years. And,
all right. So she's been there. My God, she's been there. It's going on, what, 20 years, I think.
She just retired about a year and a half ago, two years ago. So
all
she's
right.
retired now.
Good for her.
I'm curious if you knew the midday personality was Terry Stevens.
No.
And Terry Stevens left after the station changed format to news. And he went to Nashville and he became Garth Brooks's. And he worked with Kenny Rogers as well, their vice president of promotion for Capitol Records. I don't know if you knew him.
No,
at all.
Of course, my time in Nashville would have been long before that. I was out of there
okay.
after 75. So I know Terry's name, not from radio. I didn't even realize that. But he was at Capitol Nashville, did national promotions there for quite a while. I think that after Bill Williams left, he came into that thing. So there might have been somebody else in between too, but I think he got there in the late 80s and was head of promotion for Capitol for like a decade.
Okay. Yeah, Terry had a great background. He played, I don't know the artist's name, But he was born in South Dakota, and he was the guitar player for who's the guy who wrote Party Doll?
Oh, Buddy Knox.
Buddy Knox.
Okay.
Yeah, he was Buddy Knox's guitar player for a number of years as he was growing up through. He actually left high school to go tour with Buddy Knox.
Okay.
And I think, didn't Buddy Knox leave to go to L.A. and, or didn't he end up in L.A. doing something?
He was from, but, you know, I always, when I think of Buddy Knox, you talk about someone else in Nashville that I think about at the same time was Jimmy Bowen, because they both recorded
Jimmy
at
Jimmy Bowen,
yeah,
correct.
And they both recorded at that Clovis station. But the person that I remember in Buddy Knox's band who played guitar was Don Lanier, but that may be earlier than the person you're referring to.
Yeah, he did like 65 dates with them.
Okay, yeah.
So I don't know if he was subbing. You know, I know he said the tour was basically throughout Canada.
Right.
A lot of Canada slaps.
Right, but, and Buddy wasn't the only act. They were those package tours.
Right, right. You know, they go on, they play, what, five songs?
Yeah, right, right, exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So. But, yeah, Buddy was from Happy. Actually, it's really true. It was a city, Happy, Texas. And I think he died outside of Seattle in Bremerton, and that's been, you know, a long time now, over 25 years for sure. So, but, yeah, he wound up from Happy. He wound up getting to know Roy Orbison because they both were on the same West Texas shows and all that. And I think he got involved then with the guy from Clovis, Norman, I can't think of it, Norman Petty. As far as that goes. And then he got a deal with Liberty because Jimmy Bowen went out there too. Jimmy was working as a producer at Liberty, I think under Snuff Garrett actually. So they signed Buddy Knox to Liberty, and so that would be your L.A. connection. Snuff Garrett produced him actually, and around the same time that Snuff was producing Johnny Burnett and Bobby V and all that. And then he wound up, I don't know how he got there, but he wound up in Macon, believe it or not, you know, south of Atlanta, Macon, Georgia. And then in the late 60s moved to Nashville and was working with Bob Montgomery. So that would have been UA Records, Bob Montgomery, and was doing some country stuff. And, of course, Sonny Curtis, who was, you know, well-known part of Buddy Holly's entourage, was involved in this stuff, too. And so, yeah, a lot of country stuff there. And
I have a quick, funny little story I want to share, and then I'll let you go.
Yeah.
So Terry was out in Maine with Garth Brooks. He was just starting out with his career.
Okay.
And he was touring with, he was opening for Kenny Rogers.
Okay.
So Terry's backstage taking photos. He's the promotion manager. Kenny Rogers sees Terry taking photos and says, "Who's this guy?" And he has his road manager throw Terry out of the stadium. he didn't care who he was. He told him, "Get him out of here. I don't want him here taking photos."
Okay.
Years go by. Terry's down at Capitol Records. Kenny Rogers is searching for a new label.
Uh-huh.
And he goes to Capitol Records, and they ask, "What do you think, Terry? Think you want to take on Kenny?" And Terry said, "Nah, I think we're okay."
Yes.
So it was a little vengeance. I don't know if he doesn't call it vengeance. He calls it just a twist of fate.
But, yeah, yeah.
I think they picked up some of his catalog along the way on Capitol, but then Kenny was kind of on a downward spiral a little bit then after his, you know, career. So,
well, it was interesting about Kenny Rogers because when I was doing Charlie Rich's promotion, that was at Charlie's height, you know, 74, 75, in that range. And Kenny Rogers, you know, he'd been obviously done a lot of stuff before, including some pop hits with the first edition and all that. And he was really trying to make it. And in 75, when Charlie Rich, you know, notoriously on the CMA Awards show, lit the card on fire and was banked to drinking and all that, I remember sitting at a table with Kenny Rogers, who said, "Man, if I ever get that successful, I'll never blow it." And I thought to myself when his sex scandals came out, well, Kenny, I guess you just had a different vice. Because he sure blew it. And it was, but he was so, you know, so resolved because, of course, back then he couldn't get arrested. And he's like, "Well, if I ever get that chance, I'll never blow it." Yeah, well, And then you do. So,
it's such a small world. Everybody knows everybody.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It is very small as far as that goes. Absolutely. But, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for the time and the good listening to you. And I just wanted to share a story about Joel.
That's great. Thanks. I appreciate it.
All right. Have a great night.
So good stuff. Yeah. And Buddy Knox wound up living in Manitoba for a while. And I don't know what that was about. Why do I want to say there was some girl involved? But I don't know. But I know he was up in Manitoba. So anyway, and of course, died in Bremerton. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Marty in Whiting's been hanging on for quite a while. So Marty, you still with us? No, Marty gave up because Marty is sane. All right, but I appreciate those of you who wait. Let's see. We've got Maddie in Harwood Heights. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi.
Hi.
I think my wife is going to hate me because she doesn't like me when I bother you.
Oh, why?
Because she loves your show so much and she feels like I'm intrusive.
Oh, no. She needs to call too. Are you kidding? I love everybody who will dial this phone number and talk to me. No. Call as often as you like.
She loves your taste in music more than I do.
Yeah, okay.
But I was thinking about Frankie Lyman.
Yes, Frankie Lyman. That's another sad story. Yeah,
and
another sad story.
It's a very, very, very sad story.
Yeah, it is.
And he made these great songs.
Yeah.
He made these songs, and then he went to war, and he came back, and he was all messed up. And then he died so young. He was only, 25 years old.
Yeah. Well, and the backdrop, and I think you got to realize that this was even before he was in the service, the backdrop is absolutely the drug use.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the guy was, he was troubled. He was
And it was
a junkie, I guess.
Yeah, it was a heroin overdose. Heroin overdose that killed you.
Yeah. He was only 25 years old, too.
Yeah, I know.
25 years old.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Absolutely.
There's a band that I love, and it's a more modern band. It's called the Mountain Goats. It's a great artist. His name is John Darnielle, and he loves old artists, and he loves these sad, beautiful stories about great artists who create music, and then they're gone. And there's a song he made. It's called Harlem Roulette, because he made his last recording at Roulette Records.
Oh, yeah.
You know that?
Yeah. No, I'm just thinking the Mountain Goats. I think they started out at the Claremont Colleges, and then they wound up going.
Yeah.
Because
he was a college kid, and then he became a. He was a youth advisor and an artist and a blah, blah, blah. But he made this great song called Harlem Roulette, and it's about Frankie Lyman, about his life, his music, and then his death. And I know you don't play, this song came out in 2000-something.
No, I'll play it. Well, any group that will come up with a name that's in reference to a Screamin' Jay Hawkins song is okay with me.
Again, so, I know it's getting late in the show. You only got a few minutes left. You don't have to play it.
Well, I'm going to. Because I don't know that I've ever heard it, so I want to hear it, so I'll play it next.
It's called Harlem Roulette.
Yep.
It's off an album called Transcendental Youth.
Yep. I got it right here.
The artist, you found it.
Yep, absolutely.
If you play it, it will be a feather in my cap. Raleigh, my wife and I love you, and we love the music you play. And this song is a very sad but beautiful expression about loving Frankie Lyman's and about being a young artist and then being lost so young.
Well, the Mountain Goats will be in Milwaukee this week. They'll also be in Berwyn, Illinois this week at Fitzgerald. So if you want to see them in person, there you go.
You know, you're a superstar, and we love you.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
You're the best.
All right, thanks. Yeah, and tell your wife I want you to call. All right, so yeah, absolutely. Yeah, call often. All right, so I want to hear the Mountain Goats, then I want to get to Cleveland Dennis and Eduardo and Sam. I hope if not, well, that's why we have tomorrow night, 21 hours from now, on WGN Radio. I think. Hello. All right, well, maybe not. Time is precious, so maybe I didn't need a break. I'm not sure. I'll just play the Mountain Goats and figure it out. So there you have the Mountain Goats from the Transcendental Youth album, Harlem Roulette. And yeah, I remember, and yes, it was heroin. And, you know, I remember right after Lenny Bruce had died, heroin overdose, same deal. He used to perform in Miami Beach, got arrested there and all that. And there was a place where he would be from time to time, a little restaurant, I don't know, Pumpernick's, across from the Deauville Hotel. And after he died, I was there, and there were a group of his friends, you know, fellow performers and background people and all that. And they were sitting at a table right by me, so I got to hear every word. And they were talking about, oh man, the easiest person to kill is a junkie. And I remember at the time asking, I said, why is that the case? Said, because you don't know how much you're getting. And yeah, it turned out to be so true in so many cases. Yeah, because talk about roulette when you're doing street drugs. You just don't know how much there is. And occasionally the price might be your life. So it was with Lenny Bruce and with Frankie Lyman. But yeah, I remember that like it was yesterday. The easiest person to kill is a junkie. All right, so Cleveland Dennis, welcome to WGN Radio. Or not. All right, so Cleveland Dennis didn't hang in there for me. Let's see, did Eduardo? All right, Eduardo, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, Raleigh, I got like three stories here, but I'm going to do one, and then I'll do the other two tomorrow.
Okay.
This Dylan, M-W-A-N-I-K-I, was on the Sunday CBS. He had stage 4 kidney cancer in Kansas City back in 2022. He graduated to the, this year. This Dr. Mary Austin helped him. They became good friends. She actually flew from Seattle to his graduation in KC.
Huh.
Pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They became good friends, and he graduated, and it ended in a good feeling. I mean, a good story. So.
Yeah.
In a good ending. So this is very great story to hear this on.
Well, it is. It's the opposite of what we were just talking about with people in their heroin deaths. This is one maybe slated for death who comes around and makes a full recovery. That's great.
Yeah. 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 So I'll talk about the other two tomorrow. And
okay.
One of them is about Japan. What's the guy that calls from Japan? What's his name?
Naoto.
Naoto. Okay. Okay. Yeah. That's one of my stories. I'm going to I'll go into that tomorrow and see how the it's pretty neat. They clean up the stadium after games and all that. But
okay.
I'll talk about that tomorrow.
Look forward to it. Talk to you then.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. Yep. All right, so let's see. We have the final caller of the night. If he's still with us, and I don't know if he hung around, but Sam and Gurney, are you still there?
Yeah, I am, Rally, right. And I just want to say, first off, I just want to shoot out I just think Eduardo is probably your best and most respectable caller.
Ah.
He really is. But anyway, if I can squeeze it in, I was just wanting to say that I heard you play These Magic Changes earlier.
Yeah.
Or Those Magic Changes.
Right.
And actually, if I'm not mistaken, I'm trying to get the details right. I believe one of my friends wrote that song. His name is Jim Jacobs.
Yeah, it is Jim Jacobs, because he's the guy who wrote Grease.
Yeah, and so Jim Jacobs wrote that song, according to when I sat down with him. I remember him sharing that with me at some point. And I think it was Johnny
the guy from the guy from Sha-na-na, yes.
Sha-na-na, and he married a girl out of Milwaukee who was like a mob boss's daughter or something, but he was, I believe, the original singer of that song,
right.
And
that's
I just
right.
appreciated hearing it.
Yeah, I played the Sha-na-na version earlier in the night.
Oh, okay, I didn't hear that, but I appreciated hearing it. And
the show just ended,
ahead,
I think.
I'm sorry.
The show just ended. Call me earlier tomorrow night,
okay.
And I promise to get to you. Okay, thanks.
Okay.
All right. And
all right, so
that's it. We're over. I think Adam came back. So we broke before, but it didn't matter. So I'm talking to myself again, and we'll pick it up 21 hours from now on the radio.
Hill Spring Center and Specialty Foam.
All right.
Foam.
So I broke, you know.
I didn't even hear you break, but we're clear.
Ranker Management plus Wiener Misdemeanor and Fleet of Clay. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 news, real stories, real fun. Hex in the City, Horrific Heights, single fright female scaring the living daylights out of fellow tenants on the Upper Beast Side with one hellfire state of mind, the New York Post reports. Uptown Gnarl posted a sign on her door warning death to you beyond below around and above this apartment, according to court documents. Not to mention alleged constant screaming inside her unit and out on the streets. Now it's up to housing court to help only martyrs in the building. Eat it. Hot dog, hot jiggity water for the tip-top dog. Joey Chestnut, the hungriest Nathan's hot dog inhaler from here to Hanoi, gets off with probation for some dog flogagog in Indiana. Seems Joey slapped some schmo at a bar after the guy apparently said something Chestnut had no appetite for. Joey should still be able to go forth at Coney Baloney Island and swallow wieners to his swollen stomach's affright. Squirmaladoose, play miserables. Battle of the Plexus at the French Open when a first-time fella had a big bowel bowl arrow and suddenly had to flee in woes, telling the umpire he must go to the toilet now, otherwise big problem at center court. The cramped kid's court competitor bellyached about this quake point, but the umpire said, okay, make it fast pango in Paris. Flopaw came back to lose the dirtball derby amid concerns this might seriously stain this rookie's record at Roland Gross. And that's what's happening. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News.